Dear friends in Christ, God loves us. This is the best message ever. Today I want to talk about building superheroes. And when I look out at our congregation and I think about our children, I think that's part of the task of the church, to pour into the next generation so they see themselves as people, children, who are in Christ and with Christ in them. Christ beside them, Christ with them, they may see how they may change the world and know that in Christ all things are possible. And so first of all, I love kids. I love my own kids. They have kind of are a special place to my heart. I love the kids that come to our church, to our Sunday school, our preschool kids. I love the trust that they have and that they're willing to, if you say, all right, come follow me, what are they going to do? Follow you. In some regards, if they know me, all right? So if I'm doing that you know, they recognize me. And it's just amazing to see their trust and their willingness to be dependent upon God, even as they are upon their parents. I know for sometimes, for us as kids, as we grow up, one of the fears that we sometimes have is kind of this fear of parentnoid, all right? Not paranoia, but parentnoid. Have you ever heard this word before? All right, it's the fear of becoming just like your parents, okay? Paranoid. And maybe you have these words from your parents that just kind of resonate in your head, like, you know, your parent who says to you, now, what did I just tell you? And you think in yourself, that's a sign of early onset dementia, right? You know, what did I just tell you? Or your dad yells from you at the from the chair, now don't make me come in there. And you think in your head, you haven't gotten out of that chair for 5 years. I'm not worried about a thing. Or imagine Mary and Joseph, you know, what they were said to Jesus one day when he was leaving the house and maybe left the door open when he left the house. You can just hear Joseph saying, hey, boy, were you born in a barn? Why, yes. Yes, he was. All right. So fear of becoming parents. And I think sometimes, you know, we all have these mindsets, these memories that we have of parents that we sometimes wonder about, that we don't want to be like. And part of that, I think, is holding on to this ability to become like children, to remember what it's like to be a kid, to remember what it's like to be a child who is dependent and trusting on your parents. We think about this mighty task of parenting. And if you've ever been a parent, or maybe an aunt or an uncle, or maybe even a grandparent, when you hold that first grandchild and you have this thought in your head, I have no idea what I'm doing, right? And I think one of the greatest things that we can do as parents, as aunts and uncles, as grandparents, maybe as neighbors of kids or teachers or coaches, is to get down on our knees and say, God, I need your help, right? God, I need your help in raising these kids because I know of my own imperfections. I know I'm going to mess this up. God, help. Help me love these kids. Help me shape these kids. Help me mold these kids into lifelong followers of you, Jesus. And we get on our knees. And if you have kids, if you have grandkids, say a prayer for them today. Not that you don't, but just maybe say an extra prayer today, all right? That God may be with them and shape them, whether they're young or they're grown up, pray for them. Today we have before us this passage from Matthew chapter 18. And it's this passage where the disciples were told we're walking through Galilee. And this is shortly after Jesus was up on the mountain of Mount where he was transfigured. And if you remember on the Mount of Transfiguration, which disciples were with him? You guys remember that? Peter, James, and John. All right. And how many disciples are there in total? 12. And so if you can imagine, Jesus picks three and say, hey, you guys come with me, the rest of you stay behind, all right? And so they're walking and they're talking, and they know that Jesus is doing something soon. Twice before this passage, Jesus tells his disciples that the Son of Man has come to be rejected by the chief priests and elders, to be handed over to their hands, to die, and to rise again. And so even though Jesus has shared this with his disciples, what are they arguing about? At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, all right? They were focused on who's the greatest. I want to be the greatest, Jesus, as you head into your kingdom. I want to be at your right hand, your left hand. I want to rule with you, to have power with you. I want all of the glamour and all of the things that come along with power and authority in a kingdom. What do you think Jesus' response when he knew this is what they were arguing about? He shook his head and said, don't you get it? Sometimes I wonder if he looks at me and says, all right, Andy, don't you get it? Because sometimes it's so easy to get misled by the priorities of our lives. And so Jesus does the ultimate object lesson. Jesus calls a little child and has him stand among them. This word in Greek for that little child, it's the same word that is used when it describes Jesus at the time that the Magi found him, all right? That the star hung over the house that they were at, and Mary her little child. And so if you think about this, we know Jesus was somewhere between 0 and 2 years old when the Magi brought him. So we're talking about maybe a little tyke who can barely stand. And so Jesus is bringing this little child before his disciples, and he says this: I assure you, unless if you turn of your sins, the NIV that we read, it says, unless if you change, but really the real word here is this turning, this repentance from your sins, and you become like a little child, you will never get in the kingdom of heaven. So who's going to be greatest? What do we have to become like? Little children, okay? And that's why I think little children are superheroes, right? Because they remind us what it means to jump into your daddy's arms, all right? To be able to trust that mom and dad won't leave without me, that they have the best plans for me. And so to repent, to turn from our sins and become like a little child, turn from our desire for greatness, our desire for ourselves. And there's something about children that God sees, that in Jesus' day, they really had no value until they were maybe a little bit older. But as a child, there was so much in early childhood death, there were so many diseases that a little child had really no place in the world. And so Jesus says, become like this child who depends upon his mom and dad, who trusts his mom and dad. It's interesting that when Jesus talks about followers, he uses two illustrations more than any others. God calls us his sheep, right? We just, his sheep, and he also calls us his children. What do sheep and children have in common? They really can't take care of themselves, all right? They need a shepherd. They need someone to take care of them. And so I think as adults, to be able to say, how can I be like a little child? How can I trust God the way that a little child might trust his mom or dad or grandma or grandpa or aunt or uncle? Jesus goes on to say, even this, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom. All right? So Jesus is saying, look at this child. He's a superhero. All right? He's able to trust God and depend on him. And so I want you, people of God, to become like this child. At least in your faith. Trust in God. Become this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And then he says something remarkable. Whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes who? Me. When we welcome a little child, who are we welcoming? Jesus. All right. We don't have too many kids here, but when you look at them, do you think like of Jesus? Probably parents, you're thinking, no way, all right? No way, all right? But when we love a child, you know, whether we're sharing a cup of cold water, where we're sharing our faith, whether we're sharing a story, we're pouring into them. You know, Psalm 78 says, you know, part of our job as a church, as the people of God, is to pass our faith from one generation to the next, even to the generation that's not even born yet. What a mighty task that is. But it takes all of us together, not just moms and dads, not just family, but a church family together to pour into our young people, that whenever we welcome, say hi to, engage in conversation, one of the children of our congregation, who are we welcoming? Jesus. Sometimes as adults, you know, we're here, we come to church, and you know, it's about what I get out of it. What if you're here today to give something? Maybe it's not even talking to a child, but it's encouraging parents. You can do it, all right? You got this. But maybe it's how can we, as a people of God, encourage our parents or our grandparents who are taking care of kids, family members, to pour into our children. And so do we see and treat children as Jesus? Because the truth is, you know, in the way that we live our lives, you know, it's a great challenge. One of the guys who's really studied a lot about our culture today and kids and parenting is George Barna. And he has this about, you know, the task before us. He says, great parents recognize that from the moment a child leaves the womb until that child leaves the home, that they must tirelessly guard and shape the mind and the heart and the soul of their kids. All right. And some of you probably say, it doesn't stop when they leave the home, right? It just keeps on going. But you know that usually from cradle to age 18, when they leave to high school, how many weeks do we have to pour into them? 936 weeks. Sounds like a lot, isn't it? Until you got a sophomore in high school like I do, and you think, wow, it's 2.5 years, and whoop, Isaac is gone. Got 2.5 years to pour into him. 2.5 years before college friends, college professors, others may have more impact than I have. And so as we think about this, in those 18 years of life, most kids in a good year maybe get 40 hours a year of church influence, all right? If they come 40 hours, you know, for Sunday school, 40 times a year, maybe they come to church with you, so maybe we can make that 80 hours of contact, of influence the church has in the kids in a year. How much more influence do parents have? Parents usually have 3,000 hours of influence in the lives of their kids. And so one of the models we've adopted here at Talmadge Lutheran Church is we want to combine the yellow light of the church, the yellow light of Jesus Christ, the good news that God loves us and sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for us, to combine the light of the gospel with the red love of the home, the passionate love of moms and dads, of grandmas and grandpas and aunts and uncles, that when we combine the red of the care of home and the light of the gospel, we are an orange church where we both have an influence for greater impact on the lives of our kids. I truly believe we can do more together when we, as sponsors, as Sunday school teachers, as youth leaders, as people who maybe just talk to kids in church. How is your week? How are you doing? What are you struggling with? What are you excited about? Even though it's a risk, find a child, ask them. Pour into them. Because I think our kids are watching this. Do we really care, or do we just say it? Our kids are watching. And how we act, even when it seems like our kids aren't looking, it makes a difference. There's this poem by Mary Corzine that says, "When you thought I wasn't looking, you displayed my first report, you know, maybe on the refrigerator, and I wanted to do another. When you thought I wasn't looking, you fed a stray cat, and I thought it was good to be kind to animals. When you thought I wasn't looking, you gave me a sticker, and I knew that little things could be special things. When you thought I wasn't looking, you put an arm around me, and I felt loved. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw tears coming from your eyes, and I learned that sometimes things hurt, and it's all right to cry. When you thought I wasn't looking, you smiled, and it made me want to look that pretty too. When you thought I wasn't looking, you cared, and I wanted to be everything I could be. When you thought I wasn't looking, I looked, and I wanted to say thanks for all those things you did when you thought I wasn't looking." So how we live matters as we pour into our kids. I want to show you a video of some of our kids. This video is about 2 years old. And so as you watch this, I know my kids are in it. And so it's just amazing how fast our kids grow, this window of opportunity that we have. Let's watch this together.
I want to be a scientist.
A Lego maker.
When I grow up, I want to be a nurse.
I am the future of my family.
This community.
This church.
When I grow up, how will I treat my husband?
How will I treat my wife?
How will I treat my children?
How will I treat my friends?
How will I run my business?
How will I run my school?
How will I run this country?
When I'm faced with pain, who will I turn to?
Will I pay?
Will I be generous to people in need?
Will I stand up for justice?
Would I help to build God's kingdom?
Will I turn away from my faith or live as a disciple of Christ?
Will I really know that God loves me?
I will if someone teaches me.
I will if my family shows me.
If someone helps me know God.
If someone shows me God.
If someone shows me the truth of the Bible.
Maybe that someone is you.
Maybe that someone is you.
Maybe that someone is you.
I know God can use you to make a difference.
I know God can use you to make a difference.
Will you pray for me?
Will you disciple my parents?
Can you please share your faith with me?
Please pray for me.
Can you please help my generation to know God?
Trust me, I'm worth it. Invest in me.
Trust me, I'm worth it.
I'm worth it.
I'm worth it.
I'm worth it.
Trust me, I'm worth it.
I'm worth it.
I'm worth it.
Trust me, I'm worth it.
I'm worth it.
Trust me, I'm worth the professment.
We are the future!
So I think that's our task, isn't it? To invest into the next generation so that they're superheroes, but what's in their heart? Jesus. May we pray for them. When God maybe calls you to teach them, when God calls you to support our parents, to pray for them, to disciple them, may we say, yes, let's make superheroes of the next generation. Amen. Lord God, gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for the value that Talmadge Lutheran Church has in our kids, that we have an active Sunday school, that we provide a youth group and confirmation instruction, that we have a preschool to pour into 3, 4, and 5-year-olds and let them know about Jesus as they learn about this world. Thank you, God, for all the parents who bring their kids to church, who are involved in not only just bringing their kids, but knowing that part of their leading is being a part of Sunday school, of growing in their faith. I pray, Lord, that we may always be mindful that the children are looking. Help us set a good model, but also, Lord, help us invest in that child as we humble ourselves, as we receive children, as if we're receiving you, Jesus. We pray all this in your holy and precious name, and all God's people said,